بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to everyone. So the way this is going to go, the way we're going to have the session today is I'm going to do a fairly brief, and I'm going to try and keep it concise, introduction. I'm going to give you my reasoning why I don't celebrate Halloween. I'll break down the issue, and then we'll have a discussion. So if you think of some questions while I'm speaking, you can post them. And then we'll take it from there. I'll try to do it first come, first serve. So whoever asks the question first, I'll address that question first, inshallah. All right, bismillah, let's get started. Why I don't celebrate Halloween. Now, this issue, before we get into Halloween, it's a couple other issues that we need to break down. And I don't want to get too technical here. And I know sometimes people get bored with the technicalities. So I'm going to try and, like I said, keep it as concise as possible. But we have to first go back to the issue of imitation, imitation of other religions, imitation of other nations. This is a principle which is well known in Islam, that it is not permissible for us to imitate other nations or other peoples. Now, what does that exactly mean? Well, that is what we're going to break down, inshallah. So first of all, this comes from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of other hadith is not just one hadith. Sometimes people think if you quote one hadith, they think there's only one hadith regarding this issue. There's not only one hadith, but this is the main hadith regarding this issue. Hadith of Ibn Umar mentioned in Abu Dawud, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Meaning, whoever imitates a nation, whoever imitates a people, then they are from them. Now, why is that serious? Why is that a big deal? Well, when the Prophet ﷺ says, "Fahuwa minhum," they're from them, it means they're not from us, right? So a person can no longer attribute themselves to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that is the meaning here. That's why it's such a big deal. And the Prophet ﷺ says that they're from them, meaning they're not from us, they're from them. And that is why this is a very serious matter. Now, once again, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about imitation or emulating or copying or resembling another nation? Now, our scholars break this down into two categories. Number one, there is that type of imitation that is being referred to in this hadith, which is the haram type, the prohibited type of imitation, which is not allowed. Then there is a type of imitation which is permissible, and we're going to break that down as well, inshallah. A lot of times people have this misconception that all imitation is bad. Any type of imitation of non-Muslims is something which is bad. Some people have this misconception that all type of imitation is bad, and that is not the case. There is a type of imitation that is bad. What is that type of imitation? Well, first of all, even among the type of imitation, there is imitation that is, or I should say, among the prohibited type of imitation, there is imitation that is much worse. And that is imitation where a person desires to be non-Muslim, right? So in their heart, they desire to be like non-Muslims to the level that they don't want to be Muslim, right? They think other religions are better than Islam. And so this is the type of person, may Allah protect us, the type of person who may be Muslim just by title, right? So maybe a person is, you know, they are born in a Muslim household and, you know, they you know, because everyone else in their house is Muslim, they're like, yeah, I guess I'm Muslim as well. But in their heart, they're not really Muslim, right? They would rather be non-Muslim, maybe because non-Muslims have certain things that they desire. So this could be certain sins or whatever. A person wants to, you know, drink and do drugs or whatever other things that a person may see that non-Muslims do, and they desire that in their heart. And so there is this level of kufr, this level of disbelief in their heart. May Allah protect us. This is the severe type of imitation. Then there is imitation where a person is Muslim, but they imitate non-Muslims in those matters which are haram or impermissible. And they may imitate non-Muslims in sins, right? So this doesn't make a person not Muslim. They're still Muslim, but what they're doing is haram or impermissible. So in general, this is the impermissible type of imitation. Now, we said there's impermissible and then there's permissible imitation, the allowed imitation. This is the imitation, once again, we talked about two levels in the impermissible. In the permissible type of imitation, there's also two levels. The first is the imitation which is allowed, right? Which is simply allowed. It is mubah. It is something which is permissible. This would be imitating non-Muslims in things that are not associated with their faith. There are no religious beliefs attached to it. This is imitating non-Muslims in things that are not identifiers or things that are specific to non-Muslims. So, for example, there are certain things that only a non-Muslim only a non-Muslim would do, and they can be identified by it. So, for example, wearing a cross, right? So, wearing a cross is something that not only is it specific to non-Muslims, it is something that is that they're identified by. So, if you see someone wearing a cross, you're not going to say, "Well, I don't know if they're Christian or Muslim or whatever." You're going to automatically be like, "Only a Christian would wear a cross," right? So, this is the type of imitation that is that they are that is specific. This is the type of clothing or whatever this action is specific to them. So, the permissible type of imitation is other than that, right? So, for example, the style of clothing, as long as it, fulfills the Islamic conditions of clothing, the style of clothing is not defined in Islam, right? And so our style of clothing really goes back to our culture. We see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dressed according to the clothing of his people, right? So it wasn't that, subhanAllah, the message of Islam came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to wear different clothing. Right, he changed his clothing. He said, "Okay, now I'm Muslim, I'm gonna wear different clothing." No, he wore what the people of his time, what the people in his culture wore, and that is why, if you were to go back, if you were to somehow be able to look at the Prophet in that time, let's say you were to show up on the day of the Battle of Badr, on one side you have the mushrikun, the non-Muslims, on the other side you have the Muslims. From a visual standpoint, it would be hard to tell the difference between the two, between the non-Muslims and the Muslims, because they were wearing pretty much the same clothing. Right. So this is the type of imitation that, once again, is not specific to a faith. It is not specific that only non-Muslims wear this particular type of clothing or they're identified by that. This comes under that which is allowed. Then there is the type of imitation that not only is it allowed, it is something which is recommended, something which is preferred. And this is imitating non-Muslims in the goodness that they do, as long as it is not, there isn't any beliefs attached to it, as long as it's not a part of their faith, meaning it is an identifying matter in their faith. And obviously, when we say goodness, we mean goodness as in it is good, as defined by society, but more importantly, it is goodness as defined by Islam as well. I'll give you a very clear example of this. Let's say down the street, there's a church. And they every Sunday they go and feed the homeless. And the Muslims, let's say the masjid down the street says, the Christians, in the church, they feed the homeless every Sunday, sorry. That's something which is good, right? And so Islamically, is feeding people good? Absolutely. Is helping those who are in need good? Absolutely. Did we get the idea from them in this case? Yeah. Does that make it okay? Absolutely. Not only is it okay, it is something which is recommended that we see them doing something good and we want to imitate them in that goodness. Maybe we say we're going to do it on Friday, or they're already taking care of Sunday. We'll pick Friday, right? The day of Jum'ah, where we have Jum'ah anyway. So we'll do it on the day of Jum'ah. So imitating non-Muslims in something which is good, something that they do, which is good, as you said, goodness in society, but more importantly, goodness as defined by the Sharia, defined by Islam as well. Now, in all of this, one of the factors that needs to be understood, that one of the goals of our faith, one of the goals of our deen, is that we should be proud of who we are and we should not have an inferiority complex. And that is a very important aspect of our deen, because there are some matters that we may have in our deen that go against the norm, right? And so if it is something which is good in Islam, then we should be doing it, right? For example, I'll give you an example of this. Eating with the right hand. Now, this is something which is, in terms of the Sharia, in terms of Islam, in terms of an Islamic ruling, it is something which is recommended, right? It is something which is mustahab, to eat with the right hand. And it is on the flip side, it is makruh. It is disliked to eat with the left hand. Now, this may not be the norm in the society that we live in, right? So in the society we live in, and this is what I've seen at least, and Allah knows best, if you're right-handed, you eat with your right. If you're left-handed, you eat with your left. Now, out of being proud in our deen would mean that even if let's say we're left-handed and we're left-handed, and subhanAllah, normally society dictates that if you're left-handed, you eat your left. That we say no, in Islam it is recommended that we eat with our right, even if we're left-handed. So we take pride in that, right? And we find we say that that is something honorable in Islam, even though it goes against the norm, right? So that is something to keep in mind when it comes to imitation and this issue as a whole. Now, Halloween, where does Halloween fit in? Halloween comes under imitation. Which category? Permissible or non-permissible? Spoiler alert, it comes under the impermissible type of imitation. Why? Well, specifically, it comes under the issue of holidays. Imitating non-Muslims in their faith, in their beliefs, in certain traditions that are specific to them, that would not be considered a Muslim belief or Muslim tradition or Muslim holiday. Now, there is a hadith that gives us some clarity on this issue, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anh, in which Anas radiallahu anh says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, the people of Medina, they had two holidays that they would celebrate. Basically, they would, celebrate it. They would have fun. They would have these games that they would play to celebrate this day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what are these two holidays? And they replied, Prophet said, "Ma hadani al-yawman?" He said, "What are these 2 days?" And they said, "Kunna nal'abu fiha fil jahiliyyah." They said, "These are 2 days that we celebrated in jahiliyyah." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah qad abdalakum bihima khayran minhuma." He said, "Certainly Allah has replaced these 2 days with 2 days that are better than them, yawm al-adha wa yawm al-fitr." The day of Adha and the day of Fitr, the day of sacrifice and the day of the breaking of the fast. And this is what for us, we now know and understand as Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. So this hadith tells us a few things, and this is an authentic hadith mentioned in Abu Dawud and Nasa'i. It tells us a few things. First of all, it tells us that in Islam, we have our own holidays, right? So there are holidays that are specific to Islam. Second, we learn that these holidays that were being celebrated were actually religious holidays. They're not cultural holidays. They are not holidays that are part of, they're not national holidays. They are religious holidays. And so Allah replaced religious holidays with Islamic religious holidays, right? So we have, when it comes to, another way to say that is spiritual holidays, meaning holidays that are related to our faith, holidays through which we get closer to Allah, celebrations through which we get closer to Allah. This is what we mean when we say religious or spiritual holidays. In Islam, when it comes to spiritual holidays or religious holidays, we only have two. We have Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. Any other day where a person says, I'm getting close to Allah by celebrating on this day, we say, sorry, man, that's not in Islam. We only have these 2 days, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. We celebrate, meaning celebrate as in celebration that brings us closer to Allah. These are only two, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. So any other holiday where a person claims that they're getting closer to Allah, that it is something which is recommended, in Islam in terms of their faith, then that is not permissible other than these 2 days. And so, looking at this, we can break down any holiday into two categories. Either it's a religious holiday, it's a spiritual holiday, Or it is other than that, meaning it is either a cultural holiday or it is a holiday that is maybe a national holiday. And so when it comes to religious holidays, then not only do we only have two, also we're not allowed to take part and celebrate any religious holiday. Holidays that have any beliefs attached to it, and from our perspective, any superstitions attached to it, we're not allowed to celebrate it. That's one. On the other hand, we also have holidays that are impermissible because of the practices that take place. So let's say there is a place in the world, is a hypothetical, where they have a holiday. It's not a religious holiday, it's a cultural holiday, it's a national holiday. But on that holiday, they go around slapping people in the face, right? Now, we would say, well, this is not a religious holiday, so it should be permissible, right? There's no beliefs attached to it, so it should be permissible. We would say, no, it's not permissible because what is being done on this holiday is wrong. Islamically, it is wrong to harm other people, to slap somebody, right? That's wrong. So from that perspective, we don't celebrate it. Now, bringing all of the information that I've just given to you and applying it and looking at the holiday of Halloween, we find that it is impermissible according to the vast majority of scholars. And that is why I don't celebrate it. I don't take part in it for both reasons. Not only is it a religious holiday, it has beliefs attached to it, it has a religious origin. It is also impermissible in the sense of there are impermissible things that take place on this holiday. I want to give you a little bit of background on Halloween, just to have you understand, why Halloween is impermissible. So first of all, the origin of Halloween is actually it's a pagan holiday. And I know today, subhanAllah, there are Christians who celebrate Halloween, and it's thought of as a Christian holiday. That is because it was brought into Christianity. So originally, it was a pagan, a European pagan holiday, in which certain things they would a lot of traditions, which are actually now they've been brought back into the holiday. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But as Catholicism spread, they adopted this holiday and they made it into a Christian holiday. And so it was celebrated, and there's other names for it: All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve, Eve of All Hallows Day, All Saints Day. All this is brought into Christianity. So this was a day in Christianity where they would, starting on the 31st of October, which is today, where they would remember their saints. They would remember the dead, they would remember the faithful. And so it was very much, it became a part of Christianity, even though the origin that is pagan. And it is because of that, because of its pagan origin, that there are actually some Christians today who don't celebrate Halloween, because they say, look, this is a in Christianity, it's a bid'ah. Like in Christianity, it is something that has been brought into Christianity, right? So they're like, this is a Christian, this is a bid'ah, we don't celebrate it because it's not Christian. Actually, it was brought into Christianity later. And so there are some Christians, and you may know some people like this, who don't celebrate Halloween because they say, look, this is not a Christian holiday, it was brought into Christianity. And subhanAllah, as Muslims, that should be a lesson for us. We don't want it to become a holiday that is brought into Islam, right? So yeah, I mean, we don't want to import something into Islam and try to make excuses for it and say, whatever excuses people make. So that's a lesson for us. A lot of these traditions that take place, for example, trick-or-treating, obviously that's the big one. This comes from a practice known as souling, right? Soul as in the soul, the ruh, the nafs. This is a tradition where poor people would go from door to door, and they would sing and they would do prayers, and in response to that, people would give them some food. So they would give them sweets, they would give them cakes when they would pray for them, basically make some prayers, sing some prayers, and this slowly, has been turned into this tradition of trick-or-treating. Interestingly enough, there was a lot more Christian overtones to this holiday until capitalism got involved. So when capitalism came into the picture, basically they're like, how do we make money off of this holiday? Then more of the pagan traditions were brought into this holiday. So the tradition of celebrating the dead, getting more leaning more towards The horror aspect of it, making it scary, demons and ghouls and this and that, because it was a chance to make money off of this holiday. And a lot of these holidays now are really just about making money, right? So that's why a lot of these traditions, a lot of the pagan traditions that were initially taken out by Christianity, have been brought back into this holiday. And once again, that's another reason why some Christians today don't celebrate Halloween. They're like, you know what? This is now, even the traditions have become pagan traditions. Nobody is, singing songs of worship and so on and so forth. People are just dressing up as demons and ghouls and things like that. And that's a pagan tradition. So we don't want to have any part of it. So that, as a Muslim, that should become very clear to us that because of his religious origin, we don't get into it, right? We don't celebrate it. And by the way, like, all honesty, like, just go look at the Wikipedia page for Halloween. I don't really understand a Muslim who can read the Wikipedia page of Halloween, its origins and whatever else that goes on, and even like today, and say like, yeah, as a Muslim, like, I'm totally comfortable celebrating Halloween, because it is so far removed from our deen. It is so far removed from our morals and our principles as a Muslim. Some other reasons why I don't celebrate Halloween, in essence, a lot of it is a celebration of evil, right? And evil is personified in different ways, whether it be through vampires and ghosts and witches and so on and so forth. Demons, right? So Shayateen, subhanAllah, Shayateen, right? The celebration of Shayateen, this should be, once again, a big red flag that we don't, even as a joke, subhanAllah. Personally, I know people say, like, I'm just joking, like, I don't believe it, I'm just dressing up, I don't. But even as a joke, like, we don't celebrate something which is evil, something which is bad, even as a joke, right? So that's why we don't get. And also, like, we're talking about joking, scaring people and all of that. This is something that, even scaring people as a joke, is not something which is permissible in Islam. So for all of those reasons and others, I don't celebrate Halloween as a Muslim. Now, I know people have been asking a lot of questions. Let me just run through some of these questions and we can get into this discussion, inshallah. So I'm gonna take it from the top, from the question that I see. Bismillah. Marwa said, if children have to dress up or do any activities related to Halloween in school, is it okay for them to take part? Or buying food that has Halloween themed, like toffee, apples, or cakes, and so on and so forth. Okay. So obviously, a lot of this goes back to where you live. Living living as a minority in a non-Muslim land, obviously we're faced with a lot of challenges. As a Muslim, we shouldn't take part in Halloween, right? We shouldn't take, whether it be school or otherwise. What I would recommend is to contact the school and say, look, this goes against my religious beliefs, so I'm not comfortable taking part in it. And I don't know how the school would react. It really depends, from place to place. This can differ, and every, place has a different challenge. And so it's really hard for me to say, but just from my end, looking at my culture and my context, if this were to happen with my kids, I would contact the school and say, look, as a Muslim, like, I'm not comfortable celebrating Halloween, so can my daughter or my son be exempt from this celebration? Buying food that is Halloween themed, right? So this is something that scholars differed over. Is it okay to buy Halloween candy, right? Some scholars say that as long as a person is not buying that Halloween candy to give out on Halloween, meaning it is bought for the candy itself and not for the celebration, it is okay. And I lean more towards that opinion, that as long as a person isn't using that candy to celebrate Halloween, then inshallah ta'ala, it is okay. If it's just used as food or sweet, then inshallah ta'ala is fine. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Abdullah said, is it okay to give out candy but not actually go out? So when we say take part in a holiday, it means that we don't take part in any of the traditions related to that holiday. So giving out candy would be considered taking part in that holiday. Even though we're not receiving the candy, or we're not going out, we're not trick-or-treating ourselves, but giving out that candy means that we're taking part in the traditions, or the rituals. That's a better word, I should say. The rituals associated with that holiday that we're taking part in it. So that would not be okay. If children knock on your door and ask for sweets on Halloween, can you give sweets? Oh, same question. So as a Muslim, as I said, it is better to not, we should stay away from taking part in Halloween. If someone says happy Halloween to you, what do you say back? Can you okay, so in general, I don't expect that the average person, when someone says happy Halloween to them, that they're going to be like, okay, hold on, I'm Muslim, and let me tell you about why I don't celebrate Halloween and this and that, blah, 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 blah. Like, you may be at the grocery store and somebody at the cash register is like, happy Halloween. And like, you're not gonna, realistically, you're not gonna be like, let me give you a lecture on why, as a Muslim, like, I'm not gonna say happy Halloween back to you. So I would recommend that in a case like that, don't be rude, right? Just say okay, or just say thank you, right? And you're not thanking them for their greeting, that particular greeting. You're thanking them because they're being nice to you, right? And as a Muslim, that is something praiseworthy to thank someone for being nice. So it's not that they want you to celebrate Halloween, and we don't know exactly what someone's intention is, but we assume that they're just trying to be nice to you. That's why they're saying happy Halloween. You can just say thank you, right? And you reply, you can say, have a good day, right? So say something good back to them. Hope you have a good day. Thank you, whatever. Thanks for your help. Whatever it is, just be nice, right? Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, let's take a look at some of these other questions. Bismillah. Can we go out and get candy if we don't dress up and we don't have the intentions? Yeah, okay, so I mentioned this earlier that, as long as a person not celebrating Halloween, I mean, let's be honest, let's be real. A candy is on sale during Halloween, right? So as long as our intention is that we're not celebrating Halloween and we're not passing it out and we're not saying to someone like happy Halloween or whatever, and we're just eating the candy as candy, then inshallah ta'ala, that is something which is okay. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Bismillah. Can we buy things in shops that are an offer from a Halloween discount? Yeah, as I mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, that is something which is okay. Can you, Bismillah, travel lover said Muslims have started to celebrate in Pakistan and Dubai. Shocking. Yeah, it is shocking, and it is not shocking as well. What we have to realize is that American culture, being an American myself, I can say this, American culture is exported, right? And American culture slowly becomes a global culture. And so it's not really shocking, and this is what one of the things I did want to say is that we need to be very careful when we talk to other people. We need to be kind. We need to be gentle when dealing with others, because when it comes to other people, we have to understand that not everyone is at the same level of iman, right? So not at the same level of faith. Not everyone has the same level of knowledge. Not everyone has the same level of understanding. Not everyone has the same level of wisdom, right? So there may be, subhanAllah, people who simply don't know, right? They don't know that it's something which is bad. Or it may be that they know, but they don't have proper understanding of the issue. Or it may be that their iman isn't strong enough for them to not celebrate Halloween and therefore they take part in it. We should honestly leave the judgment out of it, right? I'm not saying that we say that. That we change the ruling of Halloween. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that we don't know what a person is going through. We don't know what their life experiences are. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know how much knowledge they have. So instead of quickly just judging someone and saying, you're a bad Muslim, or, yeah, this is wrong, and don't you know better, and ittaqillah, like fear Allah, like how dare you, so on and so forth. Like, leave all that out of it. Instead, maybe just educate people, right? Just talk to them, have a discussion with them. Without looking down upon someone, right? We put away your I call them fatwa hammers, right? If you don't know what a fatwa hammer is, when you learn a fatwa, you hammer somebody on the head with a fatwa, right? So put away your fatwa hammers. A hammer is not convincing to anybody, really. A hammer just causes pain. That we're not trying to cause pain to people. We want to educate people, right? And that happens by softening the heart and really having just talking to people, having empathy towards people. Empathy means try to understand where a person is coming from, even if you disagree with the person, right? Try to understand why they have a certain belief or why they have a certain view on a certain matter. And that empathy will help us connect with them. And the more we're able to connect with people, the more successful, or I should say, the better, the more success we're going to have at reaching a person when we're able to have a connection. And empathy builds connection, right? The opposite of empathy is to separate ourselves from others, right? To put ourselves in a camp and put them in another camp. A lot of people, they'll go like, good Muslim, bad Muslim. So you're bad Muslim, I'm good Muslim. We're now separating ourselves from them. And that separation means that we're not going to be able to connect with them and reach out to them. And if you look at, this is why, if you look at the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sunnah of the Prophet was about empathy, right? It was about reaching out to people. It was about connecting with people in order to guide them, in order to educate them. And we want to very much, adopt the characteristics and the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. That if you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would run away from you. And this is who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you were harsh and you were hard-hearted, that they would run away from you. Who would run away? Not average people, the companions. The companions would run away from you. And this is what, this was a reminder for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be gentle with the people, right? To not be harsh with the people. And very much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gentle in which, in the way that he spoke to people, the way in which he related to people. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such a beautiful, beautiful character in how he dealt with people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, I'm gonna take a couple more questions. Any other issues, then we'll call it a day. If I celebrated Halloween when I was younger, should I repent for it? It depends on how young you were. If it's before the age of puberty, this is not something that we are accountable for. We know that as a Muslim, no, as human beings in general, but as Muslims, we understand that we are, our accountability starts when we reach the age of puberty. So if it's before that, there's no need to make tawbah, even though, making tawbah, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it happened after the age of puberty, then yes, a person should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah for forgiveness, and move on, inshallah. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Does the same ruling apply to Christmas celebrations and so on and so forth? So any religious holiday, right? Any spiritual holiday would take the same ruling, right? So we have to ask ourselves a few questions. Is this a religious holiday? Are there any beliefs attached to it? Are there any superstitions attached to it? And then also, is anything bad happening on this holiday? Anything haram happening? All of those would be reasons why, as a Muslim, we don't take part in that holiday. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I have a question unrelated to this topic. So here's what we're going to do. I'll do another live session, inshallah, where I will just take general questions, inshallah. We'll do like an AMA. So if you know what an AMA, ask me anything. We'll do one of those AMAs where you can ask general questions, inshallah, because I think this live format, a lot of people like it because there's that interaction, real-time interaction, and I think it's good as well. Also, one of the problems with live is I see the sun coming in from the window here. I don't know if you noticed in this live session, it's hitting me in the eyes, and that's maybe a sign from Allah that it's time to call it a day. So we'll call it a day here. Jazakumullahu khairan to everyone who joined us live. It was good to have you here and seeing people from all over the world. It's always great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Take care. May Allah bless all of you. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.